The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and I am coming to you today from the United Arab Emirates, where I am here on a medical trip doing surgery and watching a lot of hockey at very weird hours. Most of the playoff games I've been watching have been at like 4 a.m. So it's been kind of cool, and I am joined today via Skype by Jason Berkeley. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and I actually hope you're doing surgery on a medical trip as opposed to a leisure trip.
Well, that's true. Surgery in the hotels never goes well.
No, it doesn't.
Well, and I got to tell you, you know, you said take a look around for all these spine people, and there's like there have to be 40 spine institutes on the Jumeirah Beach Road. So I think if you want to come out here and do some injections, you're going to be in Fat City.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'd be more happy to come out there and help some people and hang out with you. Most importantly, it'd be fun to hang out over there with you.
Absolutely. We'd get to go to an Emirates Hockey League game, which we did a whole podcast about that earlier in the year. It was kind of cool.
Yes, absolutely.
So we are in the thick of playoffs here, and nothing has been disappointing about these conferences.
Not at all. This is what it's all about, and I cannot believe what's happening with this Vegas Golden Knights team.
It is nuts.
I mean, you know, and I hate when people say this because this is just not the case. It's not players, quote, that nobody wanted. That's not what this is about. That's not what these guys were necessarily. I really think that a lot of the players, especially some of these players that were more second, third-line players, maybe weren't given enough time to play on their teams because they were probably coming from really good teams. But because of the cap space, some of these players just couldn't be afforded to be kept. That's the problem. It's not like, oh, we don't want Marc Gasol or get rid of that guy or he's a bum or whatever. That's not the case with these players.
Not at all.
They were good players demanding higher contracts, and the teams just couldn't afford them by and large. And so,
absolutely.
On some level, if you look at this from a mathematical standpoint, the cap kind of backfired in a sense.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think when people say, oh, these are players nobody wanted for better, you know, for lack of better term, I go, there are better terms. The better terms are that they were in the NHL. They're awesome players because they're already playing on the second and third lines. And the rules stated that they couldn't be kept. That's all. It wasn't that people didn't want them. These players were amazing. I'm sure the Blue Jackets cringe at the fact that they lost Wild Bill Carlson. I mean, they got to be. They're like, oh, what were we thinking?
I mean, it's offensive to see that. I've seen some hockey writers using that phrase to describe some of these players, a majority of them, and I think it's just wrong to do that. These are good, solid players, and if you take a bunch of good, solid players and put them on a team together, granted, some of them probably did have some chips on their shoulders, and that's we talked about that before. Even Jan Stasny even said that, you know, that was something that may be motivating some of these players. But nevertheless, I mean, these guys are like the Cobra Kai of the NHL. They're striking first, they're striking hard, and they're showing no mercy. I'm sorry. By the way, Cobra Kai, awesome. You have to watch that series. It is awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. Sweep the leg.
Now you did say you needed to get an 80s reference in for each podcast. So like
at very least one. But that was the new series that came out is incredible. You have to watch it.
All right, there
we go. Yes.
I mean, I gotta say, I could not agree with you more about who these players are. And first of all, let's just start in the net with a guy who is coming off of two Stanley Cups and has won three. And is obviously like in the prime of his goaltending career. He's killing it.
Yeah. Now, back up a second. You say he's in the prime. Why was it then when he was in Pittsburgh, he was relegated to backup or wasn't the man anymore? What's the issue? Was it mental there? Did he just was in a rut? Same place, same for so long? I mean, how do you account for that?
I mean, I think that is a big part of it, and also they got this. Murray just came out of the gates flying, and so again, I don't think that it was that Fleury was a problem. I think that there was a better choice. And in a two-goalie system, which is what you need to win the Stanley Cup,
right,
that is the key. And by the way, I can tell you this right now. You want to win the Stanley Cup, you got to have two goalies. Well, I only know one team that's headed for the Stanley Cup right this minute that has a two-goalie system. And it ain't Tampa Bay, and it ain't Washington. So,
let me ask you this question. Do you think Pittsburgh chose wrong, or did they choose wisely, as they said in Indiana Jones?
They were nice. They were a victim of the cap. And by the way, I want you, Dr. Jason Berkley, because
yes,
many of our listeners, you know, we always talk about, oh, the cap, the cap, the cap. I want you to give a quick and very clean history of when the cap started and what it said and why that's been affecting the way that the NHL works.
So basically, the salary cap is a spending limit that teams can use for players, whether it's players that have been injured, players that are on their roster, they're active, and so forth. And there are different ways to manipulate the cap. But it began, I believe, in 2005. And the intent that Mr. Bettman had for the cap was to give parity to the league, or allow teams that were in smaller markets to be able to be and remain competitive with other teams in bigger markets that may have had a bigger payroll or much more of an ability to spend money. And what it's done over the last 13, 14 years or so is it's evened out teams in markets like the Winnipeg Jets or even the Minnesota Wild, if you want to call them a smaller market, compared to the Rangers, who always seem to have unlimited funds, or even the Red Wings or other teams that you know that would be able to get in these high-priced free agents regardless of how many players they already have on the team. And on one hand, it definitely has done a lot to even out the league, and it's nice to see that and see other teams getting a chance. By the same token, when you come up with an expansion draft like this and you have players that collectively were good players, that's why I meant by it backfired, because these players are great players that just couldn't be afforded by their teams for the cap. So there you go. I think the cap is somewhere around $78 million. There are other rules involved as far as players over 35 that you can't just have an older player that you sign to a multi-year contract, suddenly cut the guy, and then suddenly his salary doesn't count against your cap. There are certain rules against that. And there are also rules against players who go on long-term IR, that some of their money still goes against that cap and prevents you from just using that money freely and willy-nilly. So we'll save that for another podcast to talk in more detail about it. But that's the gist of it. And you've seen teams that have reigned supreme. Look at my team, the Red Wings, for years. And then just couldn't keep up with the cap with development. Other teams, it's all cyclical.
Right.
The teams you're seeing now that are doing well over the course of the next 5 to 7 to 10 years will most likely not be in the same situation. And the teams that are not in it right now that are drafting like other teams like the Rangers and the Islanders and so forth are going to be developing and then eventually coming up to this point. So it's just all going to be cyclical.
Well, and that's just the thing. It's like, so here the Golden Knights come out of the gates. They are able to, and we need to talk about what happened in these games, but they're able to put together a team of guys that are, you know, for their level, they're getting paid well, but they're not getting that franchise player level of money so that they can come. Now, some of them are. I mean, James Neal's contract came with him. You know, he was a right. franchise player for the Preds. So, you know, they – and same with Fleury. So the Golden Knights kind of had to eat those big numbers on those guys. But to them, it's worth it because they're franchise players. The other players sure. they were looking at that were like that were like Dustin Brown, who has a ridiculous contract that, you know, they could have taken him as one of their main guys, which wouldn't – you know, it would have been sort of the same number, the amount of money that they would be spending, just like James Neal. So the other guys, though, are now playing for their jobs. And I can tell you this, that next year the Golden Knights have some decisions to make just for the very, very reasons we're talking about.
Sure.
But.
And then it begs the question, do they have enough development? Listen, they have one of the best coaches in the NHL, Gerard Gallant. I mean, I loved him as a player. Obviously, he was on Eiserman's line back in the 80s. He was a great coach in Florida. I couldn't believe they let him go there. Dumb move, in my opinion. And he's taken these players and put them together and molded them in a way in the system that he plays that really is suited to all of them. And as a matter of fact, it's ironic because the player they traded for, Tomas Tatar, that we got the Red Wings got the first-round pick from, he hasn't played as much. He had a goal, I think it was in game 4 or 5, I think he came back, game 4 I think it was, and then he's been a healthy scratch pretty much for most of the playoffs, which is ironic, but...
It is, but Tatar, when they brought him in, he had a role to play, and he did that during the season. I think right now they have so much talent that's playing so well. It's, you know, somebody's going to get squeezed out if they have a little glimmer of weakness. They're off the line.
Which just shows you how deep they are right now. That you have a guy like that. That's a healthy scratch. That's my point.
Absolutely. I mean, this team is really, really. Chock full of amazing players. They have chemistry. They have the ability to, you know, when a goal gets scored on them, they have the ability to almost like will the next goal into the net.
It doesn't matter to them. How many times in this last series against Winnipeg did Winnipeg get a goal? They tied it up or maybe went into the lead, and within the next shift or two, Vegas comes right back and scores another goal. You're like, wait a minute.
That is crazy.
It's defeating. I mean, how does a team mentally maintain themselves in a series like that when they get scored on after getting a big goal?
No, it was uncanny. I mean, they really broke Winnipeg's spirit, no question.
Now, having said that, I will say one thing. I'm very happy for the players. The players deserve this 100%. Gerard Gallant 100% deserves, in my opinion, even more so. But I gotta say, even though there's good fans in Vegas, and this is not a generalization, I think when it comes to this type of success with a professional team, especially in the NHL, you have to go through some lean years to be able to really appreciate this. And I don't think that it's right that they're getting the Cup Finals the first season. I think from a fan perspective, I just there's something that doesn't sit right with me about that. Not that I am salty about it, I just don't think it's something that. A first year in the league, they should be getting this type of success this quickly from a fan base. Well, you got to go through some lean years. I'm sorry, it's part of the game.
Well, I mean, I agree with you that everybody's got to suffer through some bad. Believe me, you know, growing up watching the Rangers, lean years is the understatement of the century. But
yeah,
you know, this is a I agree. But what can we do? This is what has happened. The league put some rules in place. You know, there's a talented general manager.
I totally get that. I'm not saying about that at all. And again, this may just be one of those fluky things. I'm just saying from the overall fan base perspective. I saw somebody on Twitter the other day said, why is everybody hating on Vegas? Why is everybody hating Vegas? I don't think anybody's hating Vegas. I just think that there's a bit of resentment that, you know, a team just has such amazing success right away. And listen, from a team perspective, and I'm going to jump sports here for a second. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, of course. They've been horrible my entire life.
Yes, they
have. One playoff win in 50 years. I mean, awful. Other than maybe Cleveland, if you want to compare them, but there's nothing worse than the Lions, and I've stuck with them, and it will make me appreciate it even more when I'm 98 years old and they finally win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but my point is, I think you have to appreciate. You have to go through those lean years first to really. Fully appreciate the gravity of what they're going to be experiencing next week. That's all.
Totally. It is.
Have to get that off my chest.
And I got to say, I thought that that's why – I really did. I thought that's why this team would have a hard time to make it through to the Stanley Cup because they hadn't been there. And, yes, they are – all bets are off, though. Look, all these guys play in the NHL, and you've got two guys – that won the Stanley Cup together in 2008 and 2009. I'll just remind you of that because I know you watched them do it in person. I mean, Fleury and Neal played together, and James Neal was like he was the powerhouse of that team. And of course, because of the cap, he got traded away to the Predators. But like they've been there together. They have leadership. Gallant's no stranger to this type of success. So. here you are now. That just the fact that they happen to live in a different house in Vegas that happens to be brand new. Well, you know what? That McMansion is supporting these guys, and they're going to do it. They're going to get into the Stanley Cup. I think they got a very strong chance of winning.
They've lost three games total in three series. I mean, that is just remarkable. I mean, even from some of the best teams of all time to look at that type of performance. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think the Jets, you know, like, well, look, the Winnipeg Jets have a great next couple years coming up. You know, if they can keep it together and not make foolish moves, I think the Jets are going to be a contender, you know, again next year. They've got just an amazing complement of players. And, you know, Laine just had his 20th birthday. So it's not like they're sitting there with, you know, talent that's fallen off the, you know, they're just not going to make it anymore. They've got too many injuries. I think that the Jets are there, but they could not keep up with the speed.
I'm really going to miss Bufflin grabbing two players at once and just yanking him off the scrum pile. I will miss that until next season.
He's amazing. The Jets are great. It's just a great team to watch. I really enjoy them. I think the, you know, and I was thinking about this a little bit, and why I really kind of gravitated to their type of offense. The reason I said that the Winnipeg Jets are surgical in their scoring ability is that they line it up. They come out on a shift, and they have already identified the weakness of their opponent. And they had so many weapons this year that they were able to go after them, and their scoring was crazy. I mean, that's why Laine was one of the scoring leaders in the NHL. However, against the Vegas Golden Knights, they had so much problem. You know, the whole thing, there's so many problems with how the offense of the Golden Knights was coming at them that they could not invoke their plan of attack. I saw them over and over again getting just frustrated and frustrated. It was really, really tough to watch.
Yeah, I know. And it was something that was very out of character for the Jets. If you had watched them in the previous couple series, they were really on more of the attacking mentality. They just were on their heels the whole series, and it was very surprising to see. My question why, and I mean, again, I know that Vegas was coming at them pretty hard, but still, they had enough talent that they should have been able to kind of combat that, and I'm not really quite sure what happened. I know they gave up a couple soft goals, and that I think mentally wears you down a little bit when you're in such a tight series, But by no means. And I mean, did they give up or look like they were just outclassed necessarily? They just were outplayed when it counted. That's all that matters.
In fact, Jan Stastny texted me like after the win and just said, you know, that's what happens when one team just completely outplays the other one.
And it also look at some of the ice time. I mean, Buffalo was playing like an average of like 27, 28 minutes a game or something, something crazy like that. And he looked tired at times, and I'm sure he wasn't the only one. You can only go to the well so much with your big-name players like that in a tough, tough series and expect them to be able to come out and perform. There were a couple spots where just like where you could tell they just looked tired. And I think that was the difference. Vegas is rolling four lines, and it's tough to combat that when you don't know how to shuffle your lines, and you're coming up with maybe two, three lines most. It's too much firepower.
Time winding down. 227 days after their first regular season game in franchise history, the Vegas Golden Knights are headed to the Stanley Cup Final.
I just want to take a minute to tell you a bit more about our title sponsor, Never Too Hungover. Never Too Hungover is the best tasting and fastest growing way to help prevent hangovers. That's right, the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. It helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking to feel great the next day.
Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It is sugar-free, gluten-free, low-calorie, and tastes great. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC and Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas, and of course on Amazon.com and NeverTooHungover.com. Check out the incredible reviews on Amazon. Use promo code HOCKEY to get 25% off your first order at NeverTooHungover.com.
It's been a fairy tale, started that way, and it's just continued to grow from the early tragedy in October and how this team and these individuals and that organization tried to help a city heal from that. And they just continued to grow. That man on the left there, the head coach, is going to be coach of the year, and it's not even close.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch the Vegas Golden Knights for sure. Now, we've got one game left. Yeah. Of course, for me, it's tomorrow at 4 a.m. So, well, I'll be watching it while I'm getting ready to go to the airport because I'm flying back tomorrow. But you know, right. 4 a.m. here in the Middle East. But what are your thoughts on this? I mean, we're going to a game 7 with Tampa Bay and the Capitals. What's up with this series?
I will say this, and I'm going to agree with Mike Modano, the all-star and one of the best American hockey players of all time, American-born hockey players of all time, when he said, and I quote, "It doesn't matter who wins, Vegas is winning the cup." So he said that, and some people agree, some people didn't, but I think it may be a moot point. The only team that I think, if they play their best, that could really come out of this and give Vegas a run for their money is Tampa. I think they're the more well-rounded team. Vasilevskiy had a horrible game last game.
Terrible.
Just terrible. Terrible game. And, you know, it's one of those things where you say to yourself, why? Why? I mean, he's the same player, same talent. You know, what is it? And if you give up an early soft goal, which is what happened, you know. But then again, listen, could Ovechkin will his team across the finish line here? I mean, it's going to be a tight game 7. I think Tampa's going to come out on top.
I do too.
I think they have just too much of a more well-rounded team. And but it's, you know, again, are they going to be limping into the next series? That's the question.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, these two teams are killing each other. And on the forecheck, you see that both of these teams are killing each other. They are hitting and hitting, and the pain that's being put onto the forwards will definitely come home to roost in the next series. Because right now, they're working out, they're in with the trainers, they're getting rest, you know, they're skating. Like, they're going to come out like a shot. And I do think that Vegas's chances to win the cup are affected by who wins this this game. I think I agree
with
you.
You think the Golden Knights are going out for like midnight $2 lobster and steak right now and just hanging out on the strip? And
I don't think so, man. I think they are gunning. They want this cup. Something awful.
Going to Sapphires with a pocket full of singles, maybe. Something. I don't know.
Just... Well, I'm sure some of them are doing that.
Not that I ever know about those places there. I've heard of it.
Yeah, you've heard. I understand. but I do think that Tampa Bay is the team that has a chance to beat the Golden Knights for sure. They have huge firepower. They have Stanley Cup. They have Stanley Cup experienced players. They have the coaching. They've got Yzerman. They've got depth. They've got, you know, JT Miller and McDonough, and they've got Chris Kunitz, and they've got, you know, they have a very – they've got Kucherov. They've got Stamkos.
They got Kucherov. I mean, they got Stroman. Listen.
They got the point. Like, it's a real
the
team.
The thing is, though, but did – was there a defensive breakdown in this series with Washington that has gotten Tampa Bay into this game 7?
Yes. There is.
Okay. It's not just John Vasilevskiy. He's given up a couple soft goals, but that's not going to turn this whole series.
No.
I think that Tampa Bay's defense really hasn't been what it was in the first two series, and it just doesn't appear that they have the same shut down mobility. I mean, I don't know why.
I do. I know exactly why. Because they got JT Miller and Ryan McDonough, who brought a little bit of that Ranger curse with them.
It's a curse now.
It's just a little bit of that Ranger curse. You know, just a little bit came with those guys. I mean, they're great guys. It's not their fault. But, you know, they were, you know, in the fire sale of the Rangers. You know, and by the way, fire sale, to get JT Miller and Ryan McDonough is like, it couldn't be better. But I do think that there's just a, you know, there's a little too much of everybody looking to the other guy. And, you know, that could be hurting them. And, you know, I Washington doesn't have all the mega talent that the Lightning do, but they've got amazing guys, and they have exposed weaknesses of the Tampa Bay Lightning on multiple occasions. And certainly in a game six where the Lightning could have moved on, it was all Washington. They stopped them dead in their tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about in game six, I mean, Stroman and McDonough are both -3.
I know.
That alone, I mean, that's – I mean, you know, even their offensive firepower, Callahan -2, Kucherov -2. These guys are all on the ice for even straight goals against that were given up.
I know. I'm
and if you had your star players, I mean, Hedman is even a -1. A Sergachev -2. I mean, these players are supposed to be your top players. And in game six, which is an important game, you don't want to go to a game seven.
Nope.
And I think it was John Cooper even said that Washington played like their lives depended on it. We play like we had another chance. And when you have that mentality in a game six, it's disastrous. Because then now you're backed up against the wall and you're like, oh no, we got to win this next game. This is it.
Well, they blew it. I think Tampa Bay blew it with this loss. They should have won that game. They should have went into Washington and, you know, dismembered this the Capitals. But it wasn't the case at all. The Capitals put up a huge fight. They didn't let Tampa Bay get into the game, and you said, you know, the scoring was happening with their star players on the ice. It's
Stamkos was a -2. I mean, it was, you know, come on. But I got to say, one of the nicest goals that I saw in the last week of hockey was that Devontae Smith Pelly goal when he came sneaking down right in the slot there and got that beautiful pass. I mean, that was awesome. That was a great goal.
That was so sweet. It was one of the – like, he's going to be, like, replaying that in his brain for, like, the next 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a really nice goal. I mean, Vrana, I mean, you know, I got to say, the Caps played great in game six, not taking anything away from the – in other words, I don't want to say, like, oh, it was the Lightning just played terrible and that was it. The Caps took it to them. They punched them in the mouth.
They did. They were not having it. They 100% shut the Lightning out. They stopped them. I mean, it was crazy. That last game was that. By the way, Braden Holtby's first shutout of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
That game was his first shutout of the season, not the postseason. The entire. Yeah. 2017-18 season.
By the way, you know, looking at these two teams, though, this is also a battle of old Penguins. I mean, you got Orpik and Niskanen,
yep.
You know, previous Penguins defense. And who else is on there that was – isn't there someone else from Tampa Bay that was a – am I wrong about that? No?
No, you're not – no. On Tampa Bay, you have Chris Kunitz.
There was nobody who's – Right, but I mean, I'm talking about defense, though, because there was no other defenseman. Because, you know, that was what your defense lost out was. There was a defenseman. If they kept that same defensive core, you forget it.
Well, I mean, I don't know what – I don't even want to talk about the Penguins anymore because, like, I don't know why. You know, I go back to this over and over again, and I think I was just – I forget who I was just talking to, but I was on one of the ESPN shows, and it was like, you know, the Penguins are at that trade deadline, and what they need is more defense. And they traded away Ian Cole and took on Derek Brassard. Like, that was their answer to, like, we have a defensive issue, you know, so we're going to bring more offense and get rid of Ian Cole, who's a role player defenseman. He's a solid player. And it just, I don't know. Look, the Penguins aren't in this anymore. They are, about to give the Stanley Cup over to somebody else, and that's
and don't think I forgot. And everybody listening, Jay Calvert will be wearing my Red Wings jersey coming up very soon. I have a whole ceremony planned for you to wear the jersey and everything else. So don't worry, it will be happening very soon.
Well, we're going to do that episode on the 29th because I think we have Francois Beauchemin. I think we're going to wind up doing like two episodes that day just because we've got so much. You've got a jersey ceremony. We've got Francois, who's, you know, just speaking of incredible defensemen, you know, this guy's career is exemplary to the nth degree. So he's coming on, and then we're really trying very hard to get. I know that Ace has already got his car booked to come up to Beverly Hills to talk to Eddie Olczyk about what it's been like to go through what they've gone through. And
so,
it'd be sweet. I mean, I really hope it happens, but you know, I know we're pushing for it. But I can tell you one thing: Ace is totally fired up to come on the podcast again.
Nice, love to have him. Absolutely.
Well, we're gearing up for our Concern Foundation, so that's that's coming July 14th over at Paramount Studios backlot. Go to concernfoundation.org, check it out. We are definitely excited to be raising money for cancer research, and you know, everybody's got to look at it. I mean, you know, we all have somebody who's battling and getting, you know, the worst end of the cancer stick. So we all have to pull together on that one for sure.
Absolutely. 100%
so I'm looking,
agree.
But I am looking forward to wearing the jersey. I'm not going to enjoy it because I know it's a Red Wings jersey, but I have to keep my end of the bet. We've got a big Mastros dinner coming up too. I think we're gonna have to pull that together. I don't know when Kevin's back in town, but I think he's getting back shortly. He's been at the Cannes Film Festival with his movie Gaudi, which looks. I love a trailer where there's multiple opportunities to show people getting shot in the head. I think that just says it's going to be a real burner of a crime movie. So, and the mobsters. I mean, Gaudi, that's like a Jersey film too. So I'll really enjoy that.
A couple other little housekeeping things in the NHL. Lou Lamoriello was signed to the Islanders after he let go by Toronto.
Wow! Really?
So they got a new sheriff in town over in the Islanders, and he's gonna, he's a known winner. Knows what it takes. So I'm wondering what he's gonna do there. The whole thing about Toronto hiring that, I think he's a 25-year-old wonderkind stat guy over in Toronto to be their new GM. So who knows what's gonna happen with that?
Was he 25 or 35?
Maybe he's 35. I don't know, but I know he's one of the youngest guys ever hired in the Toronto organization like that for that kind of position.
Well, it's good for him. I mean, I'm definitely a believer that the data can lead you to success in the NHL, and you've got to follow that money ball approach because that's what gets you the guys are, you know, their performances are pretty predictable when they're healthy. So,
well, it's something that I don't think hasn't been utilized as much in the NHL as it was in baseball or other sports necessarily.
No.
So, you know, we'll see how that lines up here in the NHL with success.
Well, the big X factor is the injuries. I mean, that's the part we just can't control. I mean, I think that, a lot of these playoff series this year have been affected pretty significantly by injuries. And that's the part you can't, and I don't bet on hockey. I don't bet on any sports at all. But if you're a betting guy, when you're betting, you're betting on a team that makes the assumption, if all these guys are healthy, this is who I think will win. And all it takes is a Cam Fowler wrist injury or whatever, something that seems kind of minor, but you take that one player out of the situation, and it's a different bet. It's a different game. You can't look there like, oh well, you know, the Anaheim Ducks are the same without Cam Fowler. They're hardly the same team without him.
Agree.
You know,
David Quinn is going to be named the coach of the Rangers. He was coach at Boston University for the last 5 years, and He used to watch. He was a previous assistant for Colorado, and he's going to be taking over for Alain Vigneault over for your Rangers.
Wow, we'll see what happens with that.
Although you're a fan of like what nine NHL teams actually, so it's hard to say your Rangers, your Penguins.
No,
your,
I don't have Devils. I'm not a fan of any team. I just like to watch the NHL. But I will definitely be paying attention to what goes on with the Rangers. I mean, that's a team I've followed for years, and you know, they needed an overhaul. They really do.
Wait. Back up a minute. So there's no team that if you're in the NHL or the playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7, your team loses, you're not going to be heartbroken. There's no team that would do that to you.
No, there are. There are a few teams that are like that.
That you'd be depressed and miserable and still bringing up and talking about it 10 years later?
No, I don't have mental illness like that.
Oh, now I have mental illness.
That's a perseveration of epic proportion. I'm sorry to say, but you know, you got to get over that, man. You got to leave that, you know, you got to leave that behind so that you can go forward.
I can't. I won't.
I know you won't.
No, I can't.
I'll bring a Pittsburgh jersey to the ceremony next week just to see if the two jerseys get at it.
Yeah, exactly. No. I don't want to see that jersey. Don't bring it.
And it's like it's an old school Pittsburgh jersey. It's from when I was in Pittsburgh. It's really like classic.
Yeah, well, classic or not, I don't bring it anywhere in the vicinity of me.
Well, I'm just going to bring it for the jersey. It's not for you. Don't worry. I realize you won your bet. It's good. So listen, I'll look forward to next week. We're going to find out who's going to the Cup. The first game, I think, is on Monday either way, and it's just a question of whether it's going to be Vegas with the home ice advantage, right, or Tampa Bay with the home ice advantage if they win. So, you know, this Game 7 is huge. It's going to be – all I know is it's going to be a great Stanley Cup, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Actually, yeah, I think James Myrtle had posted the schedule of the Cup and the Cup games and everything else on his Twitter account. So if you have a chance to overcheck that out, he has everything listed there too.
Absolutely. And please, next week, you probably want to tune in to our live. We will definitely be on Instagram Live and Facebook Live next week to have the jersey ceremony, whatever you've got planned. We'll put that out live, and I think it'll be really fun. So anyway, Jason, anything else you got for this week?
No, just taking it easy, a little vacation time, and I can unwind a little bit. Play my guitar, watch some hockey, and just enjoying being home with the family. A little staycation.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy trying to get through my little time here in Dubai, which has been really fun. But it's I got to get home. I got stuff to do back there, and I'm looking forward to the Stanley Cup Finals. So,
absolutely.
Until then, this is Dr. Hockey signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
See, this is the type of podcast you gotta have.
This is Legends of Sport.
Hi, this is Bob Miller.
This is Gary Payton.
Bill Walton here. It just captivated everybody, even the players. The same thing. It wasn't just the fans, but players on other teams was like, wow, right?
It's bringing the experience of getting to know athletes as well as I do over the years. You know, the good and the bad, because that's life. And we remember these iconic athletes for what they accomplished on the field or on the court or on the ice or wherever.
Be sure to check out Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Legends of Sport, Podcast One. Wow.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.